Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 16. So we enter in the second part of the Ten Commandments, focusing more on how we would live with one another, especially as the people of God and society. And we have just one verse today. I will be, again, using the larger catechism on the commandment to guide us mostly, and I'll be referencing when I preach through each of those sections in great detail. I'll just be summarizing them now. We've gone through the Ten Commandments many times, including in Exodus 20. So that's the way we'll be looking at it. You might have your larger catechism with you. If you don't, no worries. But if you have it with you, you might open it up. We'll be looking at the section on the fifth commandment, beginning with question and answer 122. Hear now the law of the Lord. May he give us love for it. May he bless us with what he promises those who love and obey him with it, especially in this command. Deuteronomy 5, 16. Honor thy father and thy mother, as the Lord thy God hath commanded thee, that thy days may be prolonged, and that it may go well with thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Now, this addresses all of us today, as we'll see, but particularly it addresses children. And so, children, I encourage you to be particularly listening today and hearing what God says. God is saying you are to honor your mommy and your daddy. You are to obey your mommy and your daddy. And if you do, God is going to give you special blessing. That doesn't mean we earn anything in terms of eternal life, but it does mean that God is a good father. And as we know from the scriptures, he rewards those who diligently search and serve him. This will apply to all. I also want to recognize, so that I don't forget to mention it, do you notice, children, it doesn't just say obey daddy. A lot of times, and it's reasonable, father is head of the house, and at the end of the day, mom needs to be able to say, wait till your father comes home, all right? Dad always has to back up mom, and there's a sense of dad as father reflects the authority of God our Father, that dad particularly should be expecting and demanding and developing respect and obedience. But notice it doesn't just say father, it says mother. So children, boys and girls, I want to make sure you hear this. When mommy tells you what to do it. You obey. And now we need to recognize this also, because who do you have most of your time with? Mommy. She's the one in the home working the hardest, taking care of you, leading you. And yes, daddy can come home and put his foot down when necessary, but you need to be respecting your mothers. I want you to see that in the commandment. Mommy is highlighted in this verse. She's implied in the fourth commandment. She is explicitly acknowledged in the fifth commandment. Let's not miss that. Again, we're done with the first part of the Ten Commandments, commandments 1 through 4, particularly related to worshiping and loving God. And we were shown that our duties to God are to love. Deuteronomy 6, verse 5, we're going to see that we're to love the Lord with all our heart, with our soul, and with all our might. And Jesus quotes that in the New Testament in Matthew 22, verses 37 to 38, that says, the most and greatest commandment, he says, is actually Deuteronomy 6, verse 5, which summarizes the first four. Love God with everything in you. Remember, even the commandments themselves, and as Jesus says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. In particular, we've been focusing on how to love God. And by obeying him and focusing on him, the only true God, worshiping him as he wishes to be worshiped. Now, we transition to the second part of the Ten Commandments, the commandments 5 through 10, our duty to man. And it's to be summarized the same. Jesus quotes Leviticus 19, 18 in Matthew 22, 39 to 40, and he says, love your neighbor as yourself. That's the second greatest commandment, and it summarizes what we're going to see in the remainder of the Ten Commandments. We need to remember that it is all love. To live God's law out is love. To not live God's law out is hatred. And in this case, we want to not hate our parents, not hate our authorities, but show love, and ultimately show that we don't hate God, but we love him and we appreciate his authority over us. But as we go through each of these commandments now, we are going to see how we love our neighbor as ourselves, and especially our brethren. J.G. McConville says that as we go into the fifth commandment, we move into the realm of social order. Now, I would say that it's more particularly related to civil life outside of worship. It's not that there is not a society and there's not involvement in society with the first four commandments, but now we're getting to kind of the rest of the week, you might say, the other 6 days of the week, how to be living out who we are on the first day of the week, now the Sabbath. So we're moving into the realm of social order. How are we living in this world, not just as brethren, but with our neighbors, the broader world? We're to love our neighbor as ourselves. John D. Currid says this: we're now talking about horizontal relationships. Primarily, the first four commandments are thinking vertical about our relationship with God. Now, in that context, we're thinking more about how we are relating with one another horizontally. And he says this, John Currid: it is significant that the order to respect and pay homage to one's parents is at the head of the list of such laws. Holy and proper living begins at home. God has established a hierarchy in human family, in the human family, and the Hebrews are responsible to obey that authority structure. That's a good point. We're going to learn how to act in society. And then the first commandment to set us up for the rest is honor. Respect. Notice it's a heart issue, right? We're to do things, but just as the 10th commandment is really a heart issue, don't covet. The first, it's bookended, right? The first and last of the second table of the law is a heart issue. It's always the heart. Love. Love our neighbors. Respect. So if we're going to not kill, if we're going to not steal, if we're going to not lie, if we're going to not covet, all those things in the second table of the law, it starts with we are going to respect one another. And in particular, we're going to respect authority. That's the start of it all. So it's the same for Christians today. We need to respect our authorities because it ultimately is what everything else will follow under. And it is ultimately respecting God. It reflects God is our Father. When we show respect for our father and mother, when we show respect for our minister and elders and our other offices of the church, when we show respect for any who are older than us in different ways, the Proverbs talk a lot about that. When we show respect for the civil government, which I think the church has a lot to learn about that right now in America, when we show respect in these different ways, we are showing that we respect God. That we are respecting our Father in heaven. God's people will show respect to one another in their respective societal roles in family, church, and state. And in return, God will reward such respectful children and citizens. I give that to you as the main idea of this command, the fifth commandment, in its context. And I want you to recognize that there's extra reward promised in the second giving of this command. We'll look at how it's a little different than Exodus. I repeat, the main idea of this verse: God's people will show respect to one another in their respective societal roles in family, church, and state. And in return, God will reward such respectful children and citizens. We're going through the Westminster Larger Catechism on the commandments in this series through Deuteronomy. We're bringing them all together on one commandment. When we went through the Larger Commandment, we went through each of the questions and answers over many weeks, sometimes broke them up into pieces and went into a lot of detail with all the scriptures. Here, we're going to summarize and mostly turn to the Larger Catechism to help us look at these things. We've gone through it in Exodus. We've gone through the Ten Commandments in other places. Well, the fifth commandment starts with question 122. Really, it says we're transitioning now. What's the summary of God's law? Love. Summary of God's law related to the rest of the Ten Commandments? Love of people. 123 cites the fifth commandment now. We're going to study the fifth commandment. So I won't read it because it just reads Exodus 20, verse 12, which is pretty much the same as what we read in Deuteronomy, but there are two differences. There are two extra reasons given. Even in the reason given, there's extra said. There's two extra things that we're going to consider about why we should obey this commandment, why we should honor mom and dad and obey them and all of our authorities. But first, I want to look with you at what is the general scope? What is the fifth commandment generally teaching us? And then we'll look at some of the particulars in the different societal relations. If you have your larger catechism, and if you don't sweat it. But if you have it, I'm turning now to the Westminster Larger Catechism, question and answer 126. What's the gist of it? What's the main general scope of the fifth commandment. The general scope of the fifth commandment is the performance of those duties which we mutually owe in our several relations as inferiors, superiors, or equals. So what we want to recognize as we come to this study, it's not just about sons and daughters. It's not just about children. It's also what mom and dad have as responsibility. It's also the responsibility of what the magistrates have in civil society. It's also the responsibilities of officers in the church. We have a responsibility, and we have a mutual responsibility as equals to one another. The catechism will draw all of that out. I remind you, the larger catechism was written for mature Christians. May the Lord mature us as we study in depth God's law, the fifth commandment. But as we go through this, we're going to be looking at responsibility to superiors, from superiors, and as equals, the larger catechism guiding us. And so it explains in question 123 this responsibility we have to honor one another in our different roles, our different God-given roles. We will see that there's a reason annexed, and there are additional reasons in Deuteronomy 5. All in all, those who are respectful will in turn be treated as respectable. So what I give you for the message today is this: show respect and be respected. We have to do it because God says so, right? But God gives us extra reason. And in Deuteronomy, the second giving of the fifth commandment, extra, extra reason. It's kind of like he gives us the ice cream, and then he's put the whipped cream on, and now he's putting cherry, chocolate sauce and a cherry and peanuts on top. If you don't like peanuts, put sprinkles there, whatever you like. In Pittsburgh, they call sprinkles Jimmies, by the way. Took us a while to figure, what is this Jimmies thing we're talking about? Sorry, that's a little bit of a distraction there. But God is giving you all these extra reasons to be obedient children, to be respectful children, to be respectful in all areas of life, even as adults. Show respect and be respected. That's the message for you this morning. First of all, you always owe honor to those whom God puts over you in family, church, and state. You always, always owe honor to those whom God puts over you in family, church, and state. Even if you don't like them, even if you don't always agree with them. I was talking with a pastor in Pennsylvania, and I was sorry to hear that he was getting people ganging up against him because he's bringing Reformation stuff we would consider so basic. It's as he described, sounds like there's actually a lot of unbelievers and just a church in dire need of the Bible. Some are even denying it, who are officers, basic stuff in the Bible. So it's a really difficult situation he's in. But one of the things he learned is, some of them just don't like him. They don't like that he's up here the whole time. They want other people to get up here. They don't have to look at him the whole time. I mean, it's amazing, isn't it? That's the way they're treating their minister, is showing such little respect. But even if they don't like him, they should respect him and respect what he's doing in the office. And so we see in the book of Acts, chapter 7, verse 2, and chapter 22, verse 1, even while Stephen and then later Paul were unjustly treated by officers, official authority, even though they were treated poorly by them, they still honored their office. They still showed respect to the persecutors by virtue of their office. It doesn't mean they acted like it was okay, but they still respected the office and the person in those offices about the way they handled it. We always can honor the office and how we handle the man or the woman, as it were. You know, not all of us are given honorable parents, but we're always to honor them in how we handle whatever God's providence is for us. So I look with you at question 124, the Westminster Larger Catechism, question 124. Who are meant by father and mother in the fifth commandment? By father and mother in the fifth commandment are meant not only natural parents, but all superiors in age and gifts, and especially such as by God's ordinance are over us in place of authority, whether in family, church, or commonwealth. Now notice, sometimes if people just have certain gifts, we're to honor them. If we don't have them, if they're older than us, the Proverbs talk a lot about that. Folks who are older, we're supposed to even stand up and show respect, right? And respect the gray hairs, not make fun of the gray hairs. That's a big problem in our society. Not every society, but it is in our society. We're to respect people even just because they're older than us. Hey, brothers and sisters, that should apply in how you respond to your older brothers and sisters, especially as they're helping to care for you and guide you. Have a good attitude towards them, be respectful, and follow them as they're delegating authority for, they're using authority for mom and dad delegated to help run the home, especially in big families. Who are meant by father and mother? Well, primarily father and mother, but governors, leaders in society, just folks who are older than us. We should be always showing respect to those who are older than us. They deserve it simply because they're older. The Bible says this. We should be showing respect to those who are in formal office, especially. Mother and father are formal offices in the family. God has ordained that. But by virtue of extension, officers in the church and officers in the state are to be treated as fathers and mothers. Later, we'll see they're to act as good fathers and mothers. I look with you now at question 125 in the Catechism. Again, we're letting it summarize things for us. Why are superiors, those who are not literally birth fathers and mothers, why are superiors styled father and mother? Superiors are styled father and mother, both to teach them in all duties toward their inferiors, like natural parents, to express love and tenderness to them, according to their several relations, and to work inferiors to a greater willingness and cheerfulness in performing their duties to their superiors as to their parents. Now, the first part of this answer could really go in the later part of the sermon where we're styled father and mothers as authority and superiors so that we treat those under us like our own children. But the last part of it is really what we're focusing on now, that we who are inferiors, those that doesn't mean in terms of equity of person, but just responsibility and authority. We are to show our bosses. That's another thing to remind people of. We're to respect our bosses in the workplace and actually do what they tell us to do and with a good attitude. Somebody asked our eldest daughter a day or so ago to go and get them a milkshake and pretend, I forget what the situation was, but do it deceitfully. And thankfully our daughter said, I can't do that. I can't lie. Not going to happen. And the person was like, what? Are you real? You know, but that's what we should do. We should be respecting our bosses, do what they say. We should be good workers, and we shouldn't have to be told how to do things a lot, especially including in the workplace. That's probably where we as adults have the biggest need to pay attention is honor our bosses. Be respectful. Be the ones that we recognize they're almost like our father and mother. After all, they've given us a job. They're helping to provide for me and my family by giving me work. And just as mom and dad bring food home and clothes, we should be thankful our bosses, those in authority over us in different ways, give us safety, protection, and provision, and treat them as if they're our parents. Boy, if we remember that we have to treat whoever's over us as if they're our parents, that's going to affect how we deal with things. We need to remember we're all part of one blood. Acts 17, verse 26, we're all ultimately related through Adam and Eve. And we need to remember as the church, we're one family. We're all related through the blood of Christ especially. So we need to show honor to one another, especially those who are put in leadership over us. I look with you now at question 127 from the larger catechism. What is the honor that inferiors owe to their superiors? So, this is really the application. How are you to treat your parents, boys and girls, sons and daughters? How are you to treat your superiors, moms and dads, uncles, grandpas, grandmas, aunts, in the general different spheres of church and state and family? How are we to show respect? What does it mean to honor our parents in all these different ways? Inferiors owe to superiors. Here is what it says. The honor which inferiors owe to their superiors is all due reverence in heart, word, and behavior, prayer and thanksgiving for them, imitation of their virtues and graces, willing obedience to their lawful commands and counsels, due submission to their corrections, fidelity to defense and maintenance of their persons and authority according to their several ranks and the nature of their places, bearing with their infirmities, and covering them in love, that so they may be an honor to them and to their government. And when it says their government, it doesn't mean a body, it means their working of governing. That's what it is to show honor to our superiors. Notice it's a heart issue first, but it comes out in our behavior. Recognizing their right to rule by their different ranks and working with them rather than against them. Back to question 127, the honor that is due to superiors from inferiors. When I first preached just on this catechism alone, I preached on Psalm 127 that we read this morning for call to worship. And I gave you this as the main idea of the text. When God builds the family, church, and state, the children there will be an honor to have around. When God builds it. When God builds the family, church, and state, the children found in those places will be an honor to be around. And I gave you this as the sermon point, be honorable. Be honorable. Now notice, there's a little bit of a sense of the effect upon you, what it says about you, all through a lot of these sermons, and that's where we go with the reason annexed and this sermon. Be honorable. Here were the points of that sermon. Be honorable in your heart. Be honorable with your mouth. Be honorable in how you act. One who shows honor is thought of highly by all. Now, we look now at question 128 of the larger catechism, sins against superiors and inferiors. What are things that we do when we act a certain way that are sins? Question 128, what are the sins of inferiors against their superiors? The sins of inferiors against their superiors are all neglect of the duties required toward them, just not getting around to obeying, envying at, contempt of, and rebellion against their persons and places, in their lawful counsels, commands, and corrections, cursing, mocking, and all such refractory and scandalous carriage as proves a shame and dishonor to them and their government. Again, their effort to rule. When I preached on that catechism, I preached from Proverbs 19, verse 26. And I gave this to you as the point of that text. The son who abuses his father and mother brings shame on them and him. By the way, I always remember, I appreciate going through with some of you, and it was secular, but the Total Transformation Program, the person highlighted that parents do not have to allow their children to disrespect them because disrespect of authority is abuse. You hear everybody liking to talk and going against authorities often when they have no right and claiming abuse because they frankly just don't want to have to obey. But to disrespect authority and rebel against authority is actually abuse. Nobody tends to think about those in office. Nobody thinks mom and dad can be abused by the children, but they can. Nobody thinks that the officers in church or officers in government can be abused, but they can, because to be disrespectful and rebellious against the authority of those given by God is abuse, is abusing them. The son who abuses his father and mother brings shame on them and him. The message for you from that text was, don't shame yourself. Here were the points of the sermon. Don't have a shameful attitude toward those God puts above you. Don't act shamefully towards those God's put above you. Don't speak shamefully of those God puts above you. Your shameful attitude, actions, and words bring shame on your superiors and shame on you. Now, I intended to say, please have Ephesians 6 open. I do want to turn to Ephesians 6 several times. Please keep Exodus marked, but turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6. We're going to see Paul quote and apply this command. First, we're going to look at Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 3. Ephesians 6, 1 through 3. Now recognize Paul is working with this command and the reasons promised if you obey. Children, Paul is addressing you from this command. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee and that thou mayest live long on the earth. Keep that mark. We're going to come back to it. But notice, in the catechisms we've looked at, when you avoid dishonoring superiors and their government, that's the main thing. You don't want to mess around with their authority to govern. You don't want to dishonor them. You don't want to show shame towards them. Instead, you should be honoring them and their government. That is, their official job to rule and lead. You should be honoring that. That is a calling they have upon their life, because it's not easy. It's much easier not to be in a position of leadership and authority. It's much easier to let it be somebody else's problem, which is why plenty of dads leave it all to mom, which is why plenty of elders leave it all to the minister, which is why plenty of ministers don't deal with anything, which is why there's plenty of corrupt governments that aren't doing the hard job, including discipline, because it isn't easy. And there's plenty of criticism for all of it by those who have no place to criticize and don't know what they're talking about. We need to be careful to honor those in authority and their right to rule and support them in it, to help them serve honorably, to bring honor to the office. Because we're all sinners. None of us live up to the offices perfectly. But we're to honor our parents, to honor those in leadership in the church and state, to help them want to be honorable and grow in that. Because leadership is service. Being a superior, leadership is service. That's the next thing we focus on. You must always seek to honor those whom God puts under you in family, church, and state. First of all, and this applies to everyone, you always owe honor to those whom God puts over you in family, church, and state. But next, you must always seek to honor those whom God puts under you in family, church, and state. And here's something I would highlight. Older brothers and sisters, this applies to how you treat your younger brothers and sisters, just as much as it does parents, children, and authorities in church and state of citizens. Think of this. Noah did something really bad, right, in a cave, and he exposed himself to shame. But it was private. The family found it in private, and two of the sons sought to cover his nakedness and keep it private. They sought to hide it and overlook it, which is wisdom and love according to the scriptures. This is an example of how we need to try to honor our superiors. And this is the kind of thing we need to do as we seek to be honorable. Look with me at question 129, Larger Catechism 129. What is required of superiors towards their inferiors? Now, what are the leaders required to do for those under them? It is required of superiors, according to that power they receive from God and that relation wherein they stand, to love, pray for, and bless their inferiors, to instruct, counsel, and admonish them, countenancing, commending, and rewarding such as do well, and discountenancing, reproving, and chastening such as do ill, protecting, and providing for them all things necessary for soul and body, and by grave, wise, holy, and exemplary carriage to procure glory to God, honor to themselves, and so to preserve that authority which God hath put upon them. So just as much as inferiors are to be praying for and loving and seeking to honor God's authority towards superiors, superiors are have the same attitude. We have to recognize whether God has given us children, they are gifts of God and a responsibility for us to care for properly. Whether we have saints in the church, we recognize we're only officers in the church because of the saints in the church. We're only here to serve them. And even civil magistrates are ministers of God, Romans 13, to serve the nation. Yes, to be respected, but they are to serve and protect their people. We are responsible to care for those under us, not stand on them, but support them. Look with me at the question 130 from the Larger Catechism. Question and answer 130. What are the sins of superiors? Here's what to be careful of as parents or officers in church or state, or in more informal ways as older brothers and sisters or older brothers and sisters in the church. What are the sins of superiors? We have to be careful about that. Not use our gray hairs to do things that are wrong, because the proverb does says, honor is for those who have gray hairs if they're righteous. They can lose that sense of honor by not living up to their gray hairs. The sins of superiors are, besides the neglect of the duties required of them, an inordinate seeking of themselves, their own glory, ease, profit, or pleasure, commanding things unlawful or not in the power of inferiors to perform, counseling, encouraging, or favoring them in that which is evil, dissuading and discouraging or discountenancing them in that which is good, correcting them unduly, careless exposing or leaving them to wrong, temptation, and danger, provoking them to wrath, or any way dishonoring themselves or lessening their authority by an unjust, indiscreet, rigorous, or remiss behavior. And so particularly what we want to consider thinking of Noah is how he risks bringing shame on himself, and thus as the patriarch of the church at this point, and shame on his family. We'll think about other things later. But we want to recognize Noah has a responsibility to try to live the right way so as not to bring shame on the church and on his children. Now, look with me back at Ephesians chapter 6 for further application here. Verse 4. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. So you see, Paul does recognize the responsibility in the fifth commandment to superiors. Don't provoke them to wrath. Don't give them reasons to resent and disrespect you. Do your duty, do your job, and serve and teach them so that they don't go around saying, they don't walk the talk, or they don't even talk the talk. We go to church, but they don't teach me in the home. And if I disobey them, they don't require anything of it. They're a joke, and so they make a joke of family, church, and state. Or they're too harsh, and they don't do it out of love, and they aren't guiding me. They only correct me, but they never disciple me, only discipline me. We don't want to be doing those things and taking advantage of our role, but recognize we have a high responsibility towards those we are called to serve. The sermon I preached for you on question 129 was on Titus 2, 1-15, and the point of that text was this. When superiors don't maintain their rule in life, they cause others to look down on God. When superiors don't maintain their rule in life, they cause others to look down on God. I remind you what R.C. Sproul has said about parents who do not discipline their children. He says it's the greatest form of child abuse. So to disrespect those in authority is abuse, but not to discipline and train our children, there isn't any greater form of child abuse. To let them do whatever they want, to let them get away with things, not correct them and not teach them and train them is abuse, because you're training them to act like that in society, which is going to get them in big trouble and hurt. I remind you that the letters to the Westminster Confession of Faith, the introductory letters, were to the Christian reader, especially heads of households, reminding us that family is the seminary of the church and the state. How we raise our children is how they will live out there. If we don't teach them to respect authority in the home, they will not respect authority in the church and in the state, which is why people are right to say, generally speaking, that child is disrespectful because of their parents. Or that child is respectful because of their parents. God uses means. He's giving us this command to obey. The sermon I gave to you on Titus 2 for question 129 of the larger catechism was this: maintain God's authority. When we don't rule according to the authority that we've been given, we are not keeping God's authority. We're not teaching people ultimately to respect God, because it all comes from Him. The message points were this: have a heart for those under your leadership. You are responsible for the well-being of those whom God entrusts to your care. You must properly train those under your authority. Training those you lead to respect your authority is what keeps them honoring God. The sermon I gave to you for Larger Catechism 130 on 1 Kings chapter 1, verse 6, I gave you this as the point of the text. David sinfully didn't act like a father or king toward one of his sons who tried to take his kingdom. David didn't act like a father or a king, and therefore his son tried to take his kingdom from him and take his concubines. It'll come back on us. We don't teach our children to respect God, respect us, respect others. They won't respect us. And as the proverb says, they'll bring shame, especially on the mother. The message for you was do your job. Yeah, it's hard. Do your job as parents. As father and mother, do your job. Disciple and discipline, both. But do your job. Do all your job. Officers of the church. You know, we hear it all the time. We see it all the time. Most officers don't do their job. They don't discipline people. The government, sadly, is often not disciplining its citizens the way it should, which is why our nation becomes less and less respectful and more unsafe. Do your job. Here were the message points. Don't serve yourself. Oh, it's easy to abdicate your authority, let somebody else do your job when you're just serving yourself. Don't serve yourself. Keep that in mind with what we're learning in Philippians. Don't esteem evil in those under your lead. Don't deter those under you from doing good. Don't be slow in supervision. Notice to not risk dishonoring yourselves or lessening your authority is a big part of what the catechism is pointing out. If you don't do these things, you bring dishonor upon yourself as superiors. And you end up lessening your authority, which is to teach people to not respect the authority of God. Rather, we are to bring honor on ourselves in our roles, not because we're honorable, but because the offices and the structure of society that God has created is. Preserve your God-given authority. Moms and dads, don't give up, because you're going to have more and more pressure from the world, and sadly, you're going to have a lot of pressure from people in the church not to do your job, to raise your children like the world and according to modern psychology, which does not believe in sin, does not believe in guilt, does not believe in punishment, and does not believe in spanking. Heed the warning of the Proverbs. If you don't do your job, the kind of kids you're going to get and the dishonor it'll bring back on you, but collectively what that will do to the church and what that will do to the nation. If we have a problem in our nation, it's because we have a problem in our church, because we have a problem in our homes, with a lack of authority. And I think I can say for the majority of our people in this church, it's a different day today, is it not? It isn't the way it used to be. We have a reality here that is often spoken of positional authority and personal authority, positional authority and personal authority. That is, we have official roles we're given, family, church, and state, but when we don't live up to them, often by not doing our job, being too permissive and or just being too harsh and not really teaching and loving, we lose, even though we really have that authority in the office, we lose that influence of authority. And there are others sometimes who are not officially in the office, but people tend to go to in family, church, and state because they are doing unofficially what should be done, and people tend to respect that. I think I've shared with you before, my brother and I preferred to go to one of our grandparents every summer because there was structure and authority, and it felt safer. We loved our other grandparents, but there wasn't structure. There really wasn't any discipline or authority. And we could do whatever we wanted. And frankly, we got bored. In the other place, we had jobs to do. We had a sense of what we're to do, who we are. We preferred to be there, where Grandma was tough, and she made us do things. Remind me to share with you the funny story of when we waxed Grandpa's chair, but that's for another time. It's pretty funny. Let me share with you. Well, maybe I need to be careful I don't dishonor, but it was her fun. We just want to remember that it's not just related to superiors and inferiors, however. Also, in all of society, that is, we have to be concerned about how we relate to one another as equals. And that's the last relation officially that's talked about by the Catechism. You must also remember to respect your equals as yourself in family, church, and state. You are always to honor those whom God has put over you in family, church, and state. You must always seek to honor those whom God puts under you in family, church, and state. You must also remember to respect your equals as yourself in family, church, and state. Don't forget to see those right beside you, serving with you in the same roles, and respect that they're there with you, working together. Probably the majority of you can relate to this with coworkers. Don't forget to respect your fellow coworkers and be a help to them and support to them in their roles with you, rather than a deterrent and a distraction. Too many people in the workforce, too many people in family and church don't want to work, don't want to follow authority, and they don't really want to respect those around them. So they don't do their job, and then other people have to do it for them. Or they don't support those who are doing the work with them, and they don't help them. Same with siblings in the home and fellow citizens. We need to be respecting one another when we're in the same equal role. Equal status, equal rights, and equal responsibility toward one another. Remembering, what is the golden rule? To do to others what we would have done to us. Not to do to others what we would not done unto us. So, for instance, when the garbage can is full, whether it's family, church, or state, empty the garbage can and put a new garbage bag in. I remember a friend complaining at work at the Christian radio station. He was so frustrated. The coffee pot was left empty. It was stinking. It was burning on the bottom. He says, you know, when I was in the military, you know what they taught us? You are the last to empty the coffee. You fill it up for the next guy. You don't leave it empty. Do it to others as you'd have done unto you. Those are simple examples, but major on those little things, you start to do the bigger things. Love your neighbor as yourself, remembers the summary of it all, and it starts with honor and respect, including of our equals. Look with me at the larger catechism, question 131, please. 131. What are the duties of equals? The duties of equals are to regard the dignity and worth of each other, in giving honor, to go one before another, and to rejoice in each other's gifts and advancements as their own. Those are the duties we have to our equals. Now we look at the sins of equals. What are we forbidden to do? Let's not sin against those in equal rank. What are the sins of equals? The sins of equals are, besides the neglect of the duties required, the undervaluing of the worth, envying the gifts, grieving at the advancement or prosperity one of another, and usurping preeminence one over another. We need to be happy for our brothers and sisters, family, church, and state. We need to be happy for one another. We need to be supporting one another. If they get an award, we don't. Praise the Lord, good for you. Isn't it one of the things we love to see in our children when they're so happy for one another and they just rejoice over each other's accomplishments and they're not competing? When I preached on Larger Catechism 131, I went to 1 Peter 2, verse 17, and here was the main idea of that text. Peter calls upon Christians to witness to their heavenly citizenship by being good citizens of society. You know, there's just a general theme in the world, and I fear too often in our nation, that rebellion is to be our identity. But citizens of the kingdom are to be seen to be good citizens, praying for, submitting to those in society. We are to be seen more than anyone else as the most respectful, long-suffering. That doesn't mean there's no place for any challenges, but there's a way to even do it most of the time. The sermon point was this: be good citizens. Be good citizens. The very idea to train our children to be good citizens. Good citizens sympathize with others. Good citizens think about others first. Good citizens fear God and value His image in others. When I preached for the Larger Catechism 132 on Romans 13, verse 8, the point of Romans 13, 8 was this: Paul commands you to keep loving others because that is a debt to God you never fully pay. The message was, you always owe love. Again, that's a summary of it all. And where love starts is with respect and honor. You owe it to Jesus Christ never to envy other people. You owe it to Jesus Christ never to seek to control others. You owe it to Jesus Christ to live out his law of love toward others. Now, thinking of equals, I remind you that Presbyterian church government, which is biblical, is a plurality of elders. Nobody's a higher officer. There is a plurality. We govern as an equality of elders. There's no pope, there's no bishop in terms of the idea of what bishop was corrupted to mean. And similarly, in Presbytery, churches are all equal. We come together and we talk and rule as the governors of the church with all equal voice, equal influence. And even now, while our church does not have a voice as we are not in fraternal relations yet, and even if I pass my examinations, please pray for me this week. It'll probably be about 5 hours going through the confession of faith. I did this many years ago, 13 to 15 exams before I came out here. I am seeking your prayers. But after that, I still can't vote. This denomination takes seriously. Our officers will be trained. I'm going to have to read, there's like about 30-something books. Some of them I've read. Some of them we have in our church library, my library, I haven't read. A lot of them I have to get. But I'm going to have to read all those and study all those before I can have a voice, even though a vote. But even though that's the case, they always welcome and encourage that we have a voice at Presbytery. Even though we're not officially allowed to vote, we're still given the floor and we're encouraged to express our opinion and have influence in that way. Just as the five Scottish commissioners, I think it was five, came from Scotland by invitation for the Westminster Assembly, which was in England, but the Scottish commissioners had no vote, because they were in Scotland, Church of Scotland, but they had great influence, and they were invited to come and have that influence. They showed respect by giving it also, even though they didn't have a vote. That's another way to respect our equals. Well, I don't have a vote, but I'm going to show respect to my fellow elders and pastors. I'm going to show that I care about this. I'm going to go out of my way to go to Presbytery and the expense of it, time, what have you, and I'm going to try to support and be part of this because it's Christ's church. The message was, you always owe love. And we owe love to our elders, fellow churches. But brothers and sisters, this is the same. Remember, though some of you are older than the others, you all are essentially equals. And you owe everyone the same kind of love and respect, not only in what you do, but how you go about it. And that's a lot of, I think, what we always have to check ourselves is our attitude. Mom and dad, same thing. We can get frustrated with our kids and we can have a bad attitude towards them and not recognize that we're still putting authority over them by God to serve and train and help them grow. And when we correct them for the 23rd time, we still have to do it with respect towards them as images of God given to us by God to be trained by us. Think about your friends. Show respect to your friends as equal. Your coworkers, respect. Remember what we are spending a lot of time on that we revisit again this evening with Timothy and now Epaphroditus, our example. Philippians 2, verses 2 to 4. Fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. J.G. McConville says this, such honoring, speaking generally of what we've heard about with the fifth commandment, all these different ways, such honoring was symbolic of respect for the whole societal organization. When we show respect in our different offices, superiors, inferiors, equals, what we owe in obedience, what we owe to not do and violate, we are showing respect for the whole thing, the family. When mom and dads, brothers and sisters, respect one another, we bring honor to the name of our family. We show we value the family as a whole. Boy, is that needed today. When we come together as the family of the church and we show respect for our officers and we show respect for our equals and we work together, we are showing we respect the church. We respect the body of Christ, the pillar and foundation of truth, the household and family of God. When we go out of our way to respect these formal aspects of the fifth commandment, we're bringing honor on the whole of the society of the church. And similarly, when we live that way as citizens in the country that we've been put, we bring honor to it. There are some countries that are known for more honor than others. Why? Because their citizens, their leaders, their people, their inferiors know how to respect one another. Mutual respect and protection and care. There are others that are unruly and more dangerous, and you're less likely to go visit. Why? Because there's less respect for one another and the society as a whole. It's all me, 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 which is why it's fine for me to steal, fine for me to kill, fine for me to lie, because I don't care about society. I could care about me. Well, that's the society of Satan, frankly, in the end, isn't it? Citizens of the kingdom of God show respect for the society as a whole, family, church, and state, and thus bring honor upon our family, our church, our state. And that relates to the special reason annexed, things added. Some of the commandments give us a special reason, even more. Do this. This is such a blessing to have. Sometimes there's a warning. And if there is a blessing, there is implied warning. If there is a warning, there's an implied blessing. But here we have a positive commandment with a positive promise of reward. And here in Deuteronomy 5, the second giving of the Ten Commandments, for the fifth commandment, there are two extra reasons given, positively. God gives you a special reason to respect everyone else. It shows and gets respect for yourself. Now, that's obviously been in a lot of this. You always owe honor to those whom God puts over you in family, church, and state. You must always seek to honor those whom God puts under you in family, church, and state. You must also remember to respect your equals as yourself in family, church, and state. And lastly, and the crescendo, the biggest thing to motivate us to do that, God gives you a special reason to respect everyone else. It shows and gets respect for yourself. What do you want people to think of you? How do you want people to treat and respond and relate to you? Think of Ham. Back to Noah. He did something sinful and stupid, but it was family privacy. Could have been kept that way. The two sons that hide the sin and want to keep it private, Noah blesses them. God blesses them and their posterity through Noah. But Ham, he starts to go talking about it, dishonoring his father, letting people know about it in public. And so God, through Noah, curses Ham and his posterity. Ultimately, we bring disrespect or respect on ourselves by how we show respect to others and thus reflect God over us all and who commands us to do so. This ultimately shows whether we're taking God seriously, and where we see ourselves as his children. Often we speak of those disrespecting others as not respecting themselves. You know, sometimes you really pay attention, you see people acting the way they are, the way they do to everyone else, because they don't respect themselves is ultimately the problem. And those who respect everyone, we speak of those who have self-respect. They have a nobility about them. They have a self-respect in the way they carry themselves, and it's seen in how they respect others. The reason annexed to the fifth commandment, the more to enforce it, the more to encourage us to do it. Look with me now, and lastly, to the larger catechism 133. Now, again, there's a special reason given in Exodus, but special extra reasons are given in Deuteronomy. I'll draw to your attention. What is the reason annexed to the fifth commandment, the more to enforce it? Children, that word annexed means added. The reason annexed to the fifth commandment in these words, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, is an express promise of long life and prosperity, as far as it shall serve for God's glory and their own good to all such as keep this commandment. There's a special promise given. Now they're reflecting Exodus. Again, there are extra reasons given in Deuteronomy. Not only that the days would go long in the land they're going to inherit. Not only that they'd live long and have long days in the land, but God adds here in Deuteronomy that it would go good for you. Not only that your days would be long, but they would be good days, fulfilling days, blessings. Now we see that same idea in Deuteronomy 4, verse 1. We were already there. Verse 6, verse 40. Namely, among any other blessings you might get, what's the greatest blessing? your own good name and reputation. That's what the Proverbs speak of, right? There's nothing more important, there's nothing better you can have than a good name and a good reputation. I remember hearing about a famous football player, actually, I think they played in San Diego, NFL player, and the father said, "I don't have much to give you, but I've given you a good name. Don't mess it up." And the way that he speaks about his parents and the influence they had in his life and the way he wanted his father to speak when he was put into the Hall of Fame, because I wanted to know I had a daddy, he said. The way he went out of his way to honor, and even his boss, when he went through a team in California, was just poorly treated for a long time by the owner, and yet he was just careful about how he handled it. And he's just honored his teammates even when he wasn't allowed to play, though he was a Hall of Fame. He always was so honorable, and I found myself thinking, I want to be like him. I just respect him. Impressive. It'll go good for you, especially that you'll have a good name, whatever happens bad to you. The sermon I gave to you on question 133 was based on Ephesians 6, 1 through 3, and I'd like to read that again. This time, let's see how Paul is drawing out that there's a special promise given. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. Notice, Paul is drawing out the extra reasons given in Deuteronomy, that you have long days, and it'll go well with you. Look, this is the first commandment given with a special promise. Take advantage of it, children. Obey your father and mother so that God gives you lots of good blessings and lots of days to enjoy them. With a good and honorable name for yourself. I gave you as the main point of Ephesians 6, 1 to 3, this. Paul calls on children to take advantage of God's first commandment with a positive promise. The message was this: live long and prosper. God makes exceptions, but these only prove his rule. As well, the promise God adds to his commandment does not imply its opposite. Excuse me, does imply its opposite. So take hold of God's promise for being a blessing to society. Those were the points of that sermon. Notice Ephesians 6, verse 3, now is the world. It doesn't say the land you're about to inherit, because as they're about to go into Canaan, it's focusing on the land as Israel. Now, Christians, as you go throughout all the world, wherever you find yourself in the world, children, wherever you find yourself in the world, God will bless you there as you honor God by honoring your parents there. P.C. Craigie writes this. The basic issue involved in the fifth commandment was the continuity of the covenant. Parents were responsible to teach their children, but to teach effectively, there must be a receptive audience. The covenant community depended on two levels of relationships. The fifth commandment is at the core of the covenant community. It presupposes the faithfulness of the covenant God. Notice again, the fifth commandment's at the core of the covenant community. If you can't start with respecting authority, everything else will go down the drain. We'll just kill each other and steal from each other and lie and cheat on each other, family, church, and state, and just want to take what our neighbor has a right to have constantly. You see, God is a good father, and he expects us to reflect this in our own obedience to our authorities over us and service of those under us and service alongside one another. He wants us to reflect that he's a good father. As Christians, we should behave ourselves as becomes those who bear his name. When we say Jesus is our Lord, it ought to be evident. There ought to be evidence that Jesus really is our Lord. Now that word honor, when it says honor father and mother, it is the Hebrew word that looks like the word for kabod, the glory cloud of God in the Old Testament, the glory cloud, which you see kind of with Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration. It means, it has the idea of being heavy. extremely valuable, taken seriously. Like when you feel it, it affects you, right? All that you would bring a good witness to God's name, that all would take him seriously. John D. Currid writes this: the point is that a child must not take his parents lightly or think lightly of them. They must be regarded with great seriousness and value. That's often going to be seen in how you respond to their interaction and commands to you. Do you respond lightly to them? We're talking about your attitude, first of all. And then we're also talking about your actions. Do you obey? Paul says in the beginning of chapter 6, obey. As unto the Lord, in the Lord. Show your identity in the Lord by obeying them according to what the Lord says, as given to you by the Lord. Show respect to all, thus showing respect to God. And this will return in others taking you seriously, feeling a weight of value toward you. When you enter the room, when you're mentioned, there's a sense of value and respect and taking your name with a heaviness to it, not lightly. You should feel a weightiness about all this, honor. Jesus, God's perfect only begotten Son, delighted to do the will of his Father. And he made you sons of God, and God as your Father. He is the one who commands it, and as you do it to the greatest or the least of these, you do it unto him. Do it unto yourself. This is all his delegated authority and his created societal order and relational roles. When you follow what God says in his word in honoring authorities and relations, you reflect him as the God of order. And things will then be done decently and in order. And you bring decent order to your family, you bring decent order to your church and to your state. Is there not a need for more of that? When you respect his authority in all of this, when you show a weightiness for his name, that you would fulfill the preface to the Lord's Prayer, that it would be something you take seriously as you utter it from your lips and as you live it and you do it. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. That's the other thing added in Deuteronomy chapter 5 that isn't in Exodus. As the Lord thy God hath commanded thee. He's reminding us God has already commanded you in Exodus 20. Remember, this is all about honoring God. When you are to respect authorities over you, respect those under you, respect equals, it's all about respecting God's authority over you and everyone and all things. Remember to respect God in honoring your father and your mother. Remember to respect, it's so easy, because it's so easy to lose your own respectability when you don't. But as you recall and recover respectful attitudes and behavior in all of society, God remembers you and he promises to bless you with long days and a good life, a good name and reputation for yourself. Others will reciprocate the respect back to you. They'll return the love. That is, as you are respectful, this will be returned with respect upon you. It's all good for all. By the way, something in my notes I overlooked, I want to reflect it with Ephesians 6 for superiors to inferiors. It's true that the wives are primarily to honor and respect their husbands. But in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7, it says that husbands are to show honor to their wives. The message for you: show respect and be respected. One last thing I'd like to share, a commentator brought up that I hope will be a blessing to many of you. Many of you seniors who are caring for your parents in their more senior moments. J.G. McConville says of the fifth commandment, probably involved is caring for parents into old age. When the parents were no longer economically active themselves, as may be inferred from Jesus' interpretation of the command in Mark 7:10-13. Jesus is specifically mentioning the fifth command, and he's calling out the Pharisees for making excuses and loopholes for not taking care of their parents. And he's applying this: you take care of your parents in their old age. Trust this promise is true for you who have been taking care of your parents in their old age, in your own golden years, many of you beloved. Trust this promise is true for you. God is giving you long days, and with all the challenges of life, good days and a good reputation. We respect you, and he will especially honor you for it. Trust you will experience the reward of the fifth commandment as we so often pray for you. Show respect and be respected. Trust that you are. The message for you, family, church, and state, young and old, show respect and be respected. And let us do so to ultimately to bring respect and honor to the name of our Father in heaven. Let us pray. O Lord God, indeed we pray, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Cause us to show great weight and seriousness and care and love for you and your reputation, as we would respect the reputation and rule of others above us, and how we rule over those given to serve under us, and how we live alongside, under, and over those rules with our equals, showing mutual respect and support. That we would bring honor on the name of our families, honor on the name of our church and churches, and honor on the name of the Church of Christ and on Christ, the Lord of Lords and King of Kings, and the only name under which anyone can be saved, and honor to the name of our Father in heaven. Let Christianity not be mocked because we earn it or deserve it, but rather, Lord, even if we are mocked, let their hearts recognize you and something different and something they don't have. Honor, respect, social order, decency. O Lord, help us to fulfill this command to your glory and for our own good and for the good of the church. And we pray in Jesus' name, and all your people said, Amen.